I want to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 121. I want to ask you to think this morning with me about what you do when things get difficult in life. Where do you turn to? If you go out on the internet and you kind of put that prompt into a search engine, you ask, you know, where do people turn for help? You'll see a couple of things pretty quickly. One of those things you'll see is that depending on how you word that prompt, you'll get a response that will include some phone numbers and helplines for people who are in distress. And so it's kind of a built-in feature of a lot of search engines. If you talk about, you know, you're thinking about hurting yourself or you're depressed or something like that, they're going to kind of bombard you with information about the ways you can get help for those type problems. If you go a little further from that and you start to see the articles that are there, they kind of have a common theme where it's good for people to build for themselves kind of a support network, and maybe friends are included there and family members are included there, co-workers, that sort of thing. And so those would be the type places. I want you to think for yourself. If today you were to find yourself in a difficult circumstance, who are you going to call? Who are you going to request help from? It might depend on the circumstance, right? If you had a question about a car, you might have a person that you're going to call. If you had a question about finances or a business decision that you had to make, maybe that's a different person that you're going to call. Maybe if you had an issue with your child or grandchild, you would say, well, I'm gonna call this person because I know that they could help. But it's interesting, if you do that internet search, I didn't find, at least for quite a few entries into the responses from the search engine, any type of spiritual help. The psalm this morning before us is all about help in times of difficulty. It's the theme. It's a psalm that was likely used by those who were going to worship in Jerusalem. It's a song of ascents we see there at the beginning before the psalm even starts. So I want us to think about where we go in times of trouble and where we go from help as we read this psalm together. If you're able this morning, I invite you to stand with me. Psalm 121 will begin in verse 1. Psalm 121 will begin in verse 1. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You may be seated. Some things we see about this psalm is like with most psalms, we don't know the exact context that it was written in, or exactly when it was written. Some would say before the exile, others would say later. Some would see the main character, if you will, that says I in verse 1 as those, a person going up to worship, and the responses that begin in verse 3 when the pronoun changes from I to you, the point of view changes, as being some type of priest. Others would see this as a more royal psalm, and the I in verses 1 and 2 being a king, and the following verses to be his subjects, or again, the priestly class. A question remains on who he is, or where rather, the psalmist is looking to in verse 1. Does he look up to the hills and he sees the great city Jerusalem ahead of him? That would be a natural way of understanding the city of God, to look up. Other commentators, as they read this psalm, they understand more that he is looking out on the idols of the people around him. He's looking up. Those are often the high places where idols would be located. And then ask of himself, unlike those places where those idols dwell, where does my help come from? And those are helpful things in helping us to understand this psalm. But the basic structure of the psalm, the basic context and meaning and theme of the psalm is very clear. We see a word appear time and time again, beginning in verse 3 and continuing all the way through verse 8. This idea of keeping you. In verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber. In verse 4, he who keeps Israel. In verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. In verse 7, the Lord will keep you. Again, in verse 7, he will keep your life. In verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. That is the theme here of this psalm, is that the Lord will keep the one who belongs to him. But this idea of keeping that we see in the ESV here and in other translations is probably not quite strong enough of a word. The word here in the Hebrew is more akin to guarding. It's not simply keeping us, but that the Lord is guarding this one who is writing and singing this psalm. The Lord guards his people. And as we see reading through this psalm, he keeps, he guards his people in the midst of many different circumstances and at all points throughout their life. That's what I want us to think about this morning. In a world that is full of opportunities for other people to help you, and it is good that others help you, it is good that others guard you and keep you, it is good that there are places to turn to in times of trouble. It's good to have a support system of other people who are there for you in your time of need. In fact, I think we could argue very clearly that is part of the purpose of the church, is that we together guard and keep each other, that we help each other, that if we are functioning well as a church, that we know that we can turn to one another in times of need and difficulty. But we do so in understanding that ultimately, when we ask the question, as the psalmist does here, from where does my help come? We would say with the psalmist, my help comes from the Lord. That is where our help comes from. What do we know about his help? And how his help comes to us. The first we understand here in these first verses is that his help comes because he is the Creator. The psalmist ties in this first person of verses 1 and 2 that his help, the help of the Lord, comes as part of his creative nature. My help, he says, comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. His creative work extends beyond simply his creation of the world. We think about God's creative work in Genesis 1 and 2 and speaking out of the nothingness and creating all that there is. We get to the end of that first week of creation and we find that the Lord rests. He takes a Sabbath. That last day of the week is a day of rest. But what we should understand is that God's creative work has not stopped and does not stop on that last day of creation. It's not as if he gathers up from the dust and makes man in his own image and breathes into him life and he says that it is good and he looks at everything and he says it is very good and then God is done with creating forever. That would be to say that God truly is not very much alive. But God is forever, as one commentator put it, the living God. Thus, creation in the biblical sense is comprehended as the living power of God which continues to operate and is constantly creative. When we think about saying to another human being, you are created in the image of God, we are not saying that God simply created Adam and Eve in His image, and therefore then everyone throughout the rest of history is made in the image of God because He created then. But God continues to create. His creative power is continually at work. Each one of us has been fearfully and wonderfully made. We have been created by our Creator. But in a real sense, as we think about His power and His authority and His majesty over everything, God's creative nature is still at work today. If you were up early enough this morning, I was not, but some of you probably were. The sun, we can understand because it's out right now, at some point this morning it rose in the east. Now again, the physics of that, the earth is turning and we're rotating and all of those things, but for the human experience, if you look to the east at a certain time every morning, the sun comes up. And friends, that is in response to God's creative brilliance. When the spring came this year, if you have trees in your yard, there's a day when they are without leaves, and then all of a sudden those buds appear, and the leaves begin to appear, and the flowers appear, and these bright and vibrant colors appear. And we know scientifically how that takes place and what that looks like, but at the same time, we have to understand that that is God's creative work as He is bringing about a new year and a new spring and new leaves on those trees. God's creative nature is always at work. And so when the psalmist here asks the question, where does my help come from? He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. There is a creativity that is taking place. And so he knows not only did God create then, but God continues to be active now. And that's why I can know that his help is coming for me. Because the psalmist understands that even every breath that he takes, every time his heart beats, that is part of the creative work of God. That we think about our own bodies, how we have cells within us and they die, but then they're replaced by new cells. And how those cells divide and how those cells are made new, and how when we are sick, our body has mechanisms within it that go to work to combat the sickness. His help comes for us because He is the Creator. He created us, but He continues to create and make us new. He continually revives us. He continually gives us breath. We went to sleep last night, and God woke us up this morning. That is His creative work. He not only made us, and He didn't just take us and set us out in the motion. You know, some of our founding fathers of our nation were deists, and the idea for many deists is that yeah, there's a God out there, and He kind of made everything and set it in motion and said, okay, let's see how this plays out. The psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord in His work as Creator. He didn't just set everything in motion. That wouldn't make sense. That would be a foreign idea to this psalmist. Because God's work is still active and present. Next, His help comes, we understand, in all situations. So it comes because He is the Creator, and then it comes in all situations. Look at the situations that are described here. He will not let your foot be moved. You're firmly planted. He who keeps you will not slumber. Our God does not sleep. The thought in the context in which the psalm is written with the pagan cultures all around him is they had gods who went to sleep, who took vacations, who were away sometimes, who went on trips. He says, that's not our God. That might be your idol up there on your mountain. That's not my God. My God doesn't sleep. No matter what is going on, my God doesn't sleep. In fact, he goes on, behold, he who keeps Israel. So not only him, not only talking to the writer here in this response in verses 3 through 8, but he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. There is not a time in which we exist where God is absent. There's not a time when he is away. There is not a time when he is unable. There's not a time when he's unaware of what is going on. We think sometimes about how we feel when we're in moments of despair. And our tendency is to at times say, God, are you there? God, do you hear me? Have you ever felt that distance from God? Things have gotten so bad, they've gotten to that point of desperation where you simply are asking yourself, God, are you there? Are you present? Do you hear me when I'm calling out to you? Well, here's a reminder, if you've been to that point, maybe you're at that point now. Our God does not sleep. He does not slumber. He is never away. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He goes on, he says, the Lord is your keeper. Again, there's that word again. The Lord is your guard. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You know, you read that passage, we get the sun part, right? We're talking about a place that is often hot. It would be important to have shade. We think about even in the book of Jonah, where Jonah was just not a great guy. He was just so upset about his calling. And he's sitting out in the desert, and he's waiting for Nineveh to be destroyed. And it's not happening because they've repented. They're turning to God. And even with all that, even with his disobedience and running away from God and God judging him by having him swallowed by this fish and then the fish throws him up on the, the bank, and then he reluctantly goes to do what God has told him to do. With all of that, what does God do? God causes this plant to grow up and provide Jonah with shade because it was hot. That's how gracious God is. But maybe we read that and we go, well, what about the moon? I don't know. I don't know if you can get moon burn. I don't think that's how it works. I've never seen the moon bright enough that I thought that it was causing UV rays that would give me sunburn. So I don't think that's how it works. Why would you need shade from the moon? In fact, in this culture, a full moon is a good thing. Because outside there was no light. You know, we can't go anywhere now without there being somebody's street light or something. There's one in front of my neighbor's house, and it always messes up our stargazing because we can turn off all the lights around our house, but that one street light out there at the road really messes up the telescope. What he's talking here is not necessarily the sun burning you, but he's giving a picture here of the all-encompassing helpfulness, the all-encompassing role that God plays in guarding us. Whether it is by day or at night, whether things are clear outside and it is bright and the sun is shining, or it is night and things are dark all around you, the Lord is our guard. There are no situations that we can be in where the Lord does not guard us through His grace and provision. You and I can't come up with a situation, because here's the reality, either the sun's out or the moon's out. It's either day or night. It's either going the middle of the day or the middle of the night, or it's transitioning between the two. It's all times. And in all of those times, that is when God is with His people. That is when God guards His people, because He doesn't sleep. In those times we sleep, we sleep, we take a day off, we rest, we stop, we find ourselves at different times more dedicated to the Lord than others, more committed to Him than others, stronger in our faith than other times. And yet at every moment, here is the Lord giving His help to us. When we have that thought, God, are you really there? Do you hear me? Are you going to answer my prayer? God, why am I going through this? God, why am I dealing with this difficulty? Why is this hardship coming in my life? Why am I having to face this? We come back to a passage like this and we're reminded God is always here. His help is always available to His people. In fact, His help is always coming for His people. Here's the good thing about the Lord's help for His people is that He is often at work even when we do not know that we need to ask for help. What you are going through today, what you're dealing with today, is God preparing you for what is ahead. And there are plenty of times when you don't even know that you need to be asking for His help. You don't even know that you need to be pleading with Him to help you and guard your life. And yet, guess what? He's guarding it anyways. We're kind of like the kid. The kid who's going through life, you know, little kids do this. They're oblivious, right? They're oblivious to everything around them. They're oblivious to all the dangers around them. It would be nice to be back to that place in life again, right? Where you're not aware of how bad things really are. Well, little kids are like that. And so what are you doing as a parent? You're being vigilant. You're grabbing the shirt to keep them out of the road. They don't want to hold your hand in the parking lot. They see the car. They can run to the car. They can get there faster than your old legs will take them. You know, and I say old legs, you know, you're 25. But that's ancient to little kids, right? I get told of that all the time by my daughters who are sick and not here this morning, so I can throw them under the bus. They talk about how old I am, how I'm going to break a hip all the time. They don't see what's going on. That's why you hold their hand, right? You hold it through the parking lot because it's dangerous. There's cars that could take their life just like that. You're holding on tightly. Well, friends, that's us. We're just wandering through life. We're meandering around, and we have no clue how bad things really are. We think we do, but trust me, it's far worse than we could ever think. The dangers are far greater than we can even conceive of. And yet, here's the Lord holding onto our hand, not just when we reach up to say, Lord, hold my hand. He's got a hold of it. Sometimes our hand, sometimes our belt loop, sometimes he's got us around the back of the neck, whatever it is. But it's every situation. And so friends, never think that you're facing something alone. Even when you feel spiritually dry, you feel like you're not exceptionally spiritual in a time, understand this, if you belong to the Lord, he, as the hymn says, he will hold you fast. No matter what you're facing. In every situation, he will hold you, and his help comes. Third, his help comes for eternity. So his help comes because he's the creator. His help comes in all situations, and then his help comes for eternity. You know, those verses in 3 through 6 seem to have a more practical kind of worldly application to them. But then we get in verses 7 and 8, and we read that the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He'll keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Friends, his help is not simply for this life. It is for this life, and we should not lose that reality that his help, his guardianship of us, comes at all times in this life. But friends, it extends beyond this life. The availability of his help, the certainty of his help for his people, comes greater in the next life even than in this one. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life from your going out to your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Friends, one day for all of us, this life will end. We'll depart this life. And we'll go into eternity. And the great question for all people everywhere is what that will look like for them. What does eternity look like? What does it look like when we step out of this life and go into the next? For those who belong to God, the reality is that we will be kept from all evil. The Lord keeps us, he preserves our life, and he'll do so from this time forth and forevermore. The psalmist at the time didn't know exactly what that would look like. There had been a great promise. No doubt the psalmist would be aware of the promise. But as we read this passage, we can't help but understand it more fully than the psalmist who wrote it. Because we have been able to see how God has unveiled his plan to keep his people from all evil. To keep and guard the life of his people. To guard us in our going out and our coming in from not only this time, from the time when the psalmist is writing, from our own time, as we live in today, but also forevermore. See, God, as He is working out His provision and His guardianship of His people, has done so through His Son. See, because we belong to Christ, and He gave His life for us, we can understand with great clarity how God keeps the life of His people. We have been purchased not with our own work, not with our own endurance, not with our own obedience, but we have been purchased by God through the sacrifice of His Son. We have been made whole through the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. When we think about how God guards us, there's so many ways that we can think. We can think like the parent who pulls the child out of danger, and that certainly has happened. We can think about the times in our life when we were in great danger and God has delivered us from that. We were in physical danger. We were in spiritual danger. We think about the times that we have been sick and that God has delivered us. But friends, the ultimate deliverance and the ultimate guardianship that God provides for His people is not the physical deliverance from difficulty in this life. It's not those times when He has kept us from being injured or hurt by someone else or by our own poor decision making. But ultimately, our great hope is in the fact that we have been delivered by Christ. And that while this life, there'll be times of deliverance and times when God is there to help us and pulls us out of things or keeps us from going through things that could be worse, and God makes them better, we realize that our ultimate deliverance is in the fact that He has promised that we will be with Him forever. That He has guarded us from evil and from the evil one. That He has brought us out of darkness. And He has brought us into His marvelous light. And that His deliverance, His help that comes for us is eternal help. That when we face that day, that final day, that day that all men and women must face, we know that we do so with great hope, great promise, because He will guard us in our going out, our coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. Friends, when we think about all the sources of help that we can approach, the sources of help that are available to us, no one offers us this help. There are those who can offer us physical help. They can offer us mental help in times of struggle. But eternal help is only available through the Lord. On that day when we stand before God, the only help we can have is not from someone else and what they have offered us or who they were to us or what they did for us. The only help that will matter in that day and in that time is whether Jesus stands with us and says, "This one belongs to me." The greatest difficulty that we will ever face is that day of judgment before God. And yet here is Jesus, who on that day will say, "This is one. For this one I died. This one is covered in my blood. This one belongs to me, Father. This one is mine." That is the great help that is promised to us in Christ. Help that is for all eternity. Help that allows us to deal with our greatest problem which is the sin that has separated us from God. Friends, this morning, the Lord is our help. When we ask the question, from where does my help come? The answer for the people of God is the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. He is the one who made heaven and earth. He is the one who will not slumber. He is the one who is with us always. I want to ask you this morning, do you know for certain that your help comes from the Lord? Have you followed Him? Have you turned from your sin and believed His good news? Because this psalm is a psalm of great encouragement, but only for the people of God. See, if you worship some other idol, if you trust in yourself, if you believe in your own abilities, then you worship a God who sleeps. You worship a God who is not powerful. You worship a God who cannot deliver you. You can't say that your help comes from the Lord. And therefore, friends, you serve an insignificant and weak God. But this morning, if you know Christ, you serve the one through which all things were made. You serve the one who made heaven and earth. You serve the one who never sleeps. You serve the one who will not let your foot be moved. You serve the one who covers you by day, protects you by night, and will for all eternity. Friends, when you come to difficult times, if you know the Lord, turn to Him. Turn to Christ. Find your strength and help in Him. But if you do not know the Lord, friends, understand this, in times of trouble, there's no one to call on. There's no one there. There is no hope and there is no help. So turn to Christ. Turn to Him and find hope and find the one who guards your life. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your truth. We thank You that You love us and care for us and give us hope and peace. As we read Your word this morning, encourage us in the power of Your help. Those who know You this morning, let Your help be the first help they turn to. In times of struggle and difficulty, let them turn to Your help. For those who don't know You this morning, call them to Yourself. Encourage them through the power of Your word. Let them turn to You for their help. Let them trust in You for all that they need. God, we thank You for Your goodness and grace. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing this final song. And as we do, maybe you need to respond to God. Maybe you have struggled with seeking the Lord in times of need. You've went everywhere else. You've tried everything else. Friends, Christ is our help. If you know Him, turn to Him in times of struggle. But friends, if you do not know Him, today is the day to follow Him. God calls on you to turn from your sin and to follow Him. If you have never done that, as we sing today, come and let me share with you how to follow Christ. Let me share with you how you can know Him. Come and find the one who will help in times of struggle. Would you come this morning and respond to God's word as we sing together?